When you believed in Jesus, you were placed into union with Him, and His work on the cross applies to you. His death to sin and His life to God, it applies to you. It's tremendous, wonderful reality. Therefore, sin is no longer master. It's no longer master. We don't have to be slaves.
Thanks for joining us for this midweek edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today you get into some controversial subjects such as circumcision and baptism.
Yes, we will, Dave. And yet it is crucial for us to have a biblical understanding of these truths. So turn with us to Colossians chapter 2, and we're looking at verses 11 and 12.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Paul is making the case that Jews are under sin. And in proving his case, he says the true Jew, in contrast to the outward hypocrite, is the one who has had a heart change. Romans chapter 2. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, neither is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that which is of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter, and his praise is not from men but from God. He's saying, regarding the Jews, somebody says, I'm a Jew in the context of a Jew of the Lord. Say, you're not a true Jew unless you've had a heart change. The outward symbol doesn't make you a true Jew. The heart change does. So with that in mind, this principle applies to all of us, Abraham's spiritual children by faith in Jesus. Notice this same spirituality, the need for the cleansing of the heart, spoken of in Romans 2, is threaded throughout the Old Testament. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10, Deuteronomy 10 verse 14. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the highest heavens, and the earth and all that is in it. Yet on your fathers did the Lord set his affection to love them, and he chose their descendants after them, even you above all peoples. As it is this day, circumcise then your heart, stiffen your necks no more. It's a heart change. Jeremiah chapter 4, you can turn to Jeremiah chapter 4. We have the Jews of Jerusalem and Judah who are in rebellion. They're in sin, and God is about to bring his judgment and exile into Babylon. And Jeremiah shares this from the Lord. Jeremiah 4 verse 3. For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up the fallow ground and do not sow among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and remove the foreskins of your heart. There needs to be a heart change. Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. Moreover, the Lord your God, and this is who does it. Moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, in order that you may live. If you don't love the Lord, and you never have, and you never have a desire to, then maybe your heart has been changed, but it's still hardened by sin. But what God does is when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he, in a sense, spiritually removes that covering, in a sense, and our heart is now able to interact with the Lord. The sin has been removed. The attitudes, the sin, as we'll see, removed through the circumcision of Christ. So here, back in our passage, you see, we have hardness of heart before we come to faith. We've got sin. And our flesh, sin corrupted, is deceived. It needs to be cut away. And then, so there's the picture. So back in our passage, Colossians 2:11, we have the same principle revealed here. And in him, that's speaking of Christ, or in whom, you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. The removal of the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And Christ circumcised your heart when you got saved. You had a hard heart, you got saved, now you get it. Your heart is sensitive to the truth. It's sensitive to sin. You understand now. So he says, in the room of the body of flesh. In him, we see that this was made without hands. It's not a physical act. It's a spiritual act. Now, this term translated removal might be helpful to understand. Apodousis, it literally means to take off clothes, putting them off. And so here, it's interesting, can also speak of disarming. Later on, in verse 15, we're going to see that Christ had disarmed the rulers and authorities. And so here, we see what God has done through Jesus Christ. Marvelous, marvelous thing. We see that when we come to faith, we were circumcised, not an outward symbol. Without hands is the removal of the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Remember in Deuteronomy, we saw that the Lord will circumcise our heart that we would love Him. It's going to take away the hardness, that flesh that is in the way. Okay? So what He does, we're changed. We're new creations. It speaks of the hardness of the sinful heart that's covering it, being cut away by Christ. So then, physical circumcision was the sign of the covenant that made with Abraham. It was an external action that always symbolized an internal heart change through faith in the Messiah and thus the Lord Jesus Christ. So what happened when we placed our faith in Jesus Christ? He removed the flesh in the sense that, as we'll see, because I still got this flesh. I still struggle with it. He removed the flesh in the sense that it has been disarmed completely. In that sense. You can see that in Romans chapter 7. Let's turn there. Paul is agonizing. He wants to do the right thing, but he finds himself doing the wrong thing. And Romans chapter 7 is just showing us our inability to do what God wants us to do apart from Jesus. Inability to do it. Romans chapter 7, I find then the principle of evil present in me, verse 21, the one who wishes to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different principle working in members of my body, waging war against the principle of my mind, making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We've been set free. The power of sin no longer has hold on you when you abide in Christ. All the false guys want to show you how to deal with sin through systems rather than relying and trusting in Jesus Christ. Sin has been defeated at the cross. The power of sin has been defeated. So we are all Abraham's spiritual children by faith. And if you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been circumcised in your heart. You now have the capability to love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, and soul. You now have the capability to abide in Jesus Christ. You have the capability to respond to Him because, as we'll see in a moment, we have the Spirit of God in us. We have Christ in us. Do you realize Christ has removed the power of our sinful nature inherited from Adam? We do not have to yield to sin. We'll see this in Romans chapter 6. Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? May it never be. How will those who died to sin still live in it? He says later on, consider yourselves dead to sin, alive to God. And that's only in the context of recognizing our relationship with Christ, as we'll see, and who Christ is and what He's done. Yes, do we struggle? Yes, do we fail? We as believers, we're the confessors of sin. We get convicted. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're those who are convicted about sin. We're not walking, just sinning up and not worrying about it. We're actually confessing. We're forgiven. We're those who are forgiven. We've had a heart change. The heart of stone has been replaced. We can now respond to the Lord. We have a changed heart. We have His Word that works in our hearts now. We have His Spirit that works in our hearts now. So then, have you been circumcised? And you know what I mean, not externally. I'm talking about a heart circumcision. Brothers and sisters, you don't need a system on how to handle or manage anger. You need Jesus. You don't need a book on how not to lust. You need Jesus. You don't need to make promises to God or other people. We need Christ. We need to renew our minds in Christ and then abide in Him. When we abide in Him and His Word in us, then we're able to walk with Him. And He delivers us. Not all the time. We're not perfect. We know we sin. If we say we have no sin, we're liars. But we confess when we fail. The power of the flesh has been removed. Now, when we're in the flesh, when we yield to it, we don't feel like it's been removed. When we offer ourselves to sin, we become slaves to sin. When you yield to sin and you haven't confessed it, you are a slave to that sin, just like you were before. But we've been set free in Christ. That's how we're freed from sin. We confess and He delivers us. He forgives us. We have forgiveness. We'll see that in the next portion. We have complete salvation. False guys want to come on and say, here's how you get out of it. Here's how you stop sinning. Here's the way you do it religiously. You need to treat your body hard. You need to have help of angels. You need to have rules. You need to have this and that. You need to follow the Old Testament law. You need to do this and that, whatever. They bring in things. They twist it to get you to follow those things, the externals. You need to do this external thing rather than trust in Christ. Don't get taken captive. In Him we have been made complete. Okay, so it's an inward work. When you believe in Jesus, He changes your heart. That's what He does. He changes your heart. Then notice back in our passage, verse 12, He says, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. Now, if I was to talk to you and, you know, you walk in the door and I say, having been buried with Him, you'd say, well, wait a second, that's not a full sentence. There's more to the sentence. It's connected to what we just read. You have been circumcised with the circumcision of Christ, that without hands, having been buried with Him. This is really how it happened. This is how God brought about your deliverance from sin and your changed heart. He's going to explain that. Because later on, He's going to say, if you've been raised with Christ, keep seeking above. Hey, if this is the reality of who you are. So He says here, having been buried with Him in baptism, which you were also raised up with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. Here we see that verse 12 is connected to what we saw, and it is our union with Christ and His work. We've got to understand this. If you look at it, verse 12, having been buried with Him, then in the middle of verse 12, with which you were also raised with Him. We have a participle, having buried, and the verb you were raised up with. In an aorist tense, what does that mean? Completed action, it's done. It's not being done, it has been done. It's already done. And it's in a passive voice, meaning we didn't do it, but the action was brought upon us. So He says here, we were buried with Him, speaking of Christ, in baptism, in which we were also raised up with Him, speaking of Christ, through faith. Now, I understand the idea of being buried, and I understand the idea of being raised, but what's this mean in this context? We were buried and raised with Jesus in baptism. What does that mean? Well, I think He's going to start to nail another nail in the false teachers who would say, hey, you got to be baptized to be saved. Hey, you got to do something where they take the symbol rather than the reality underneath and they flop it on its head. Same thing with circumcision. They take that, you got to do this. The Galatians were having this problem. Paul said to you, foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you? You began by the Spirit, you're going to be perfected by the flesh. They were trying to tell him to get circumcised. Say, no, that's the symbol of what has happened to me in Christ. To understand this term baptism, we need to understand it. There are two words in the New Testament that were not translated into English. They were transliterated. One is deacon and one is baptism. If you look at deacon, it's diakonos. You look at baptism, it's baptizo. So we have the words from where they came from. Now we sort of understand them, but what does it mean to be baptized? What does this word mean? It's really important we understand. The term bapto or baptizo means to dip or immerse. That's what it means. And as we're going to see, it speaks of identification. You say, what do I mean? In this day, when you would take a piece of cloth and you would baptize it into dye, it would come out identified with the new color. It was identified with. It was placed into and identified with. It speaks of an action that symbolizes identification. You say, wait a second, where do you get that? Well, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we see here that the Israelites were baptized into Moses. Baptized into Moses? What does that mean? They were identified as following him in that sense. They were identified with, they were baptized. Let me use that word, placed into, okay? In short, baptism speaks of being placed into or identified with. It means to dip. Paul is simply speaking of here in our question that we were put in union with Christ's death to sin and his resurrection life. When Jesus Christ died on the cross and went in the grave, he died to sin. He bore our sins and he went in the grave. When he rose from the dead in newness of life. And even Romans will say you were crucified with him or co-crucified. It's as though our old man was put on the cross too and crucified. So we are dead to sin when we are in Christ. We abide in him. And we are alive to God when we abide in Christ. Very important. And this happened when we believed. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit, it's not talking about water baptism, listen to it. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. And he says here, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, we're all made to drink of one Spirit. When you believed, the Spirit of God placed you into union with Christ. You were placed into the body of Christ. You were identified with, baptized into Christ. That's what Galatians chapter 3:27 says. For you are all who were baptized into Christ have closed yourself with Christ. Now you say there's different baptisms. Well, there's a baptism of John. There's a baptism of water baptism. There's what's going on here? Well, God says there's really only one real baptism. Ephesians chapter 4. For there is one faith, one baptism. And that is the Spirit placing us into union with Jesus Christ. Back in our passage, it's very clear. There's one baptism. Now, water symbolizes that. Absolutely. It's an outward symbol to everyone to see that you have been identified with Christ. You've died to your old life and raised in newness of life. It is through the Holy Spirit we are immersed, placed into the body of Christ, spiritually speaking. It is how we partake of him. And that's when our hearts were circumcised. In Romans chapter 6, let's take a look there again. We see this. Romans chapter 6. So when you think of baptism, think of being identified with, put in union with. And Paul in Romans 6 is going to talk about baptism as the first example, and he's going to talk about a union after that. He's going to have two examples. Romans 6, what shall we say then? Are we to continue to sin that grace might increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Hey, you're dead to sin. Or do you not know? You got to know this. Don't be ignorant. That all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, who have been placed into a relationship with him, it says, have been baptized into his death. You've been united with his death. So when Jesus died to sin, we died to sin also. We have died to sin. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so too we might walk in newness of life. Then he gives a different example. Rather than baptism. For if we have become united, that's a botanical example of putting a plant together in that sense. United with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was literally co-crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. This is marvelous. When you believed in Jesus, you were placed into union with him, and his work on the cross applies to you. His death to sin and his life to God, it applies to you. It's tremendous, wonderful reality. Therefore, sin is no longer master. It's no longer master. We don't have to be slaves. It says, for the death he died, verse 10, he died to sin once for all, that in life he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God. We can go to him. Sin doesn't have to control you anymore. We let it happen at times. We do offer ourselves to sin, and we feel the horrible reality of that. You know, we stay away from fleshly lusts, which wage war with our soul. We know that, right? So then, you say, we've been baptized with Jesus. I understand that. But what about water baptism? You see, water baptism is a picture of what God did to us spiritually. It is a picture. And when you are water baptized, you're not saved when you're water baptized. You are saved through faith in Jesus Christ. And then we are baptized by the Spirit at that point. We're placed in the body of Christ. And then in obedience to the Lord's commands, we show everyone what has happened to us. We are dead to our old life and raised in newness of life. And the bad guys come around and say, you need to be water baptized to be saved. Well, that's part of being obedient. You need to be circumcised to be saved or right with God. No, that's a sign of a relationship through faith. So then, salvation is not fixing up our old nature. It's a transformation from death to life. So then, he says, having been buried with him in baptism, which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God. It is God's work by faith. It's by faith. It's not a work of your own action. It is by faith. That's back in our passage. We were saved through faith in Jesus Christ, being put in union with him and all he did. An internal change, not an external work. And guess what? That's going to protect you from being taken captive. Because the bad guys bring external works to help you follow Jesus and you'll be taken captive. You have everything you need in Jesus. You have been made complete. You've been placed into union with him. When you are struggling with sin, you need to confess if you have sinned. But if you haven't sinned, you need to go to Jesus Christ. You need to allow his word to direct your path. Thy word I have hid in my heart that I would not sin against thee. The fear of the Lord is to depart from evil. The Lord enables us to do it. And when we fail, praise the Lord, we confess and we're forgiven. We don't just keep doing it so grace would abound. No, may it never be. We've died to sin because we are in union with Jesus Christ. Paul would say, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ. The life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I recognize when I abide in Jesus, I'm set free. I'm set free from the flesh. I'm set free from sin when I abide in Jesus' word in me. Now, it's not, we can't do it always perfectly. We confess our sins and we fail. We're growing. But he uses his word to grow us in respect to salvation. So then, don't be taken captive. Because guess what? It's real easy to go to a book or a person to say, this is how I got to deal with my sin. This is how I got to deal with my attitude towards my spouse. This is how I got to deal with this and that. Rather than going to the Lord Jesus and humbling yourself and trusting him and abiding in him. The solution is Jesus Christ. And you have everything you need in him if you trust in him. We need to rest in the sufficiency of Christ. Bad guys want you to get circumcised, get baptized, whatever it might be. I'm not saying we don't get baptized. That's an obedience, but that's an outward symbol. They're saying it does something for you. No, it's a symbol in obedience. Rather than trusting in Christ, rather than trusting in him. So then, we have a good Father in heaven who doesn't want us to be hurt spiritually, who doesn't want our relationship with Jesus to be hindered by sin. And so, are you going to be taken captive? Maybe some of you have already been taken captive. You have a system of how you deal with your sinfulness rather than personally trusting in Jesus Christ, rather than personally allowing his word to change your heart, to make you see things rightly, to help you.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, would you take a moment and expand upon what you spoke of at the end of our message?
Gladly, Dave. Well, first of all, friend, salvation is not a fixing up of our old nature. It's a transformation from death to life. Have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ? Have you trusted in him for salvation? Would you do so today? And brother and sister, the only way that we're protected from false teachers is through Jesus Christ and believing the truth concerning him and what he has done for us. Because of Christ, we've been united to him and the benefits of his death and resurrection apply to us. We have a tremendous salvation And therefore, we are protected if we focus on Him and this truth when we are tempted by false teachers who package worldly wisdom and religious arguments to try to pull us away from abiding in Jesus Christ and His sufficiency alone. You see, in Jesus, we have everything we need. We have been made complete. Don't be taken captive. Rest in the sufficiency of Jesus Christ alone.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.